The blessings of a parent. So many times it seems like the only way our kids want us to bless them is by giving them the car keys when they get a license, isn't it? Blessings can mean so much more than that. Blessings can be the words that we speak. It can be the approval that we give. Maybe a blessing is just the simple touch of a hand or some time that is offered with our children. Maybe it's just our life's example as to what they can be and what we're hoping they become. Today we're going to focus on a father and a son in the Bible, and we're going to look at the blessings that were passed on. Who gets your blessing? One of the most dramatically unqualified biblical heroes that I can think of is Jacob. Jacob was a liar. He was a con artist. He was a trickster, a fraud. He spent much of his life haunted by the bad decisions and exiled into this chaos of self-inflicted consequences. And yet God called him. God chose him. God even blessed him. Genesis 27 tells us the story about Isaac and Rebekah's twin boys, Esau and Jacob. These two are nothing alike. Esau was this hairy outdoorsman. He was a great hunter, fisherman, just like Dad was. Jacob, the mama's boy, was a homebody and just stayed near to his mommy. There's a part of me that has really always despised this story that is in the Bible. There's a part of me that has often challenged God on this matter, because nothing in the life of Jacob, at least in his early years, actually suggests that he deserved any type of blessing. Yeah, he fought for it, I get that. I've even preached to fight for things. But all in all, he was unfit and he was unqualified in my book. But then again, I didn't write the book. And as I examine my own flawed life, I come to realize that my view is rooted in the fact that I've always held Jacob to a different standard than what I hold myself. I think it's because Jacob, in many ways, defies any amount of reasoning that might suggest that he earned grace or he had good deeds that deserved to cleanse him. Perhaps that's what troubles me most, is I probably would not have saved Jacob. Despite my attempt to love all, at times I'm overtaken. Sometimes I become judgmental. And I think the truth is I see a lot of myself in Jacob. Now, Jacob ended up playing this major role in God's plan to redeem the world. He emerged simultaneously as one of the most important figures in Scripture and one of the most screwed up. We're going to kind of cover a lot of Genesis 27 today in a short time, and I think most of it's on the screen for you to follow along. Genesis 27, again, verses 2 through 5. I'm an old man now, Isaac said to Esau, and I don't know when I may die. Take your bow and quiver full of arrows and go out into the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die. Now, a Jewish father's blessing the oldest was very important. This was something that the oldest child knew they were going to get, and they longed for this day to be blessed in leadership, to be blessed with responsibilities, to be blessed with being a godly man that leads not just his family, but also the community. So Esau, he leaves. He goes out to do the thing that Dad's asking him to do, and Mom comes in to help her favorite child. Many of you probably have a favorite child that you work with. I'm not going to tell you that my mom's favorite child was my daughter, even though she denies it, and she hates when I bring that up. So Mommy comes in and prepares this food and tells Jacob to fool Dad. In verses 19 and 20, Jacob says to his father, when he goes into the room, I'm Esau, your oldest son. I've made what you asked me to. Sit up and eat some of the game so you can bless me. Now, Isaac, he's a little suspicious, so he says to his son, "How could you find this so quickly, my son?" And Jacob responds, "The Lord your God led me right to it." So in verse 21, Isaac then said to Jacob, "Come here, let me touch you, my son. Are you my son Esau or not?" So Jacob approached his father Isaac, and Isaac touched him and said, "Well, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the arms, they're Esau's arms." Isaac didn't recognize him because his arms were hairy like Esau's arms, so he blessed him. You see, Jacob, the con artist, put the fur on his arms so that he felt like his hairy brother. Now, the blessing that Isaac gave is found in verses 27 through 29. So Jacob came close and kissed him. When Isaac smelled the scent of his clothes, he blessed him. "See, the scent of my son is like the scent of the field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you showers from the sky, olive oil from the earth, plenty of grain and new wine. May the nations serve you. May people bow down to you. Be the most powerful man among your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed." And we can debate all day long about the flaws of Esau, but my mommy told me two wrongs don't make a right. I was taught cheaters never prosper. And yet Jacob gets this blessing. I think I was taught that way not because my mom was so wise, but because she knew the Bible, and she remembered verses like Romans chapter 12, 17 through 18. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Or 1 Peter, "All of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing." And even in Philippians, "Don't do anything for selfish purposes, but with humility think of others as better than yourselves. Instead of each person watching out for their own good, watch out for what is better for others." Well, obviously, Jacob didn't have the New Testament before him. Yet the story seems to be about a guy that cheated to get ahead and got the blessing that his brother deserved. Back to Genesis 27:30. After Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and just as Jacob left his father Isaac, his brother Esau came back from his hunt. He too made some delicious food, brought it to his father, and said, "Let my father sit up and eat from his son's game so that you might bless me." His father Isaac said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm your son, your oldest son, Esau." Isaac was so shocked that he trembled violently. He said, "Who is the hunter just here with game? He brought me food, and I ate all of it before you came. I blessed him, and he will stay blessed." When Esau heard what his father had said, he let out a loud, agonizing cry and wept bitterly. He said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." There seems to be four parts to Isaac's blessing. And I think we ought to have these four things present in our homes today if we want solid, secure, confident, functional families. So the four ingredients I'm going to share with you that I find in this blessing that we're going to go over is Isaac's blessing first had meaningful touch. Notice in Genesis 27, it says, Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him. And then it goes on, and then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him, and he kissed him. Now, this is not an isolated event in Scripture. Blessings have always had a laying on of hands. I remember when I graduated to become a pastor, part of the graduation ceremony was all of my fellow classmates and the professors that we had, the pastors that we had teaching our classes. They called us forward in the graduation ceremony one at a time, and all of our friends and family came over us and laid on a hands of blessing. This prayer that called us out into the world to serve God and serve others. We were touched. We were simply touched with the energy of others. People brought children to Jesus so Jesus could lay his hands upon them and bless them. I think it's important that we touch our kids. We hold them. We hold their hands. We offer them hugs and kisses. Maybe we even need to offer handshakes to one another, embraces to one another, so that we're touching their lives. This story isn't just about this dad reaching out to his little child. The story, Jacob, is about 40 years old, a full-grown adult. And yet, he needed this personal contact. It was very important in the blessing. The second ingredient is the spoken message of love and affection. This positive message of love. Our world is so full of criticisms. We're often criticized for being lazy or being dumb. It takes 7 positive comments to combat 1 negative. So we need to speak a message of love and affection as we bless one another. In Genesis 27:27, "So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed.'" And I got to be honest with you, that I really struggle with that, the smell. How many of you men are outdoorsmen? How many of you wives love the smell of your man when he comes back? Maybe I struggle with that because of Zach working on that dairy farm. When he comes in from work, from the field, whoo, I don't even want to be in the same house as that child, let alone giving him a hug. We need to communicate love with our families. We need to speak a message of love right here, right now, with each other. The third thing is a reassurance of their value. We need to reassure, as Jacob was reassured in the blessing, "May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and wine." What he's saying is, you're special. God knows you're special. God's going to bless you and give you his best. And God's best is so much better than anything that I, your simple father, can give you. We've got to teach our kids that they're important, not just when they're this big, but when they're this big. We need to let them know that they're valuable in God's eyes, and that their value, is what the world needs. We need to communicate that value because we're all busy. We all have these things pulling us away at times, taking us away from talking to our children, from really listening to them, to really reassuring them that Jesus loves them and there's nothing they can do about it. So we need to reassure them of the value that they hold in God's eye. Then the fourth thing is hope for a glorious future. Isaac helps Jacob raise his sights and see the bright future that God has in store for him. In verse 29, Isaac said, "May nations serve you and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." We've got to give our kids a real hope in themselves, knowing that the gifts that God gives them, the values that God gives them, is the value that they need in the world, and they'll have a glorious future. We've got to help them see their gifts as great gifts, godly gifts, heavenly gifts. So a meaningful touch, a spoken message, an assurance of their value, and painting a picture of a glorious future. That's why God is the perfect parent. And that's what God teaches us in these verses. That's why God said that I love the world so much that I'll send my son to love you, to forgive you, to sacrifice for you. That's the message for us today. When you embrace who you really are in this message, God wants to bless the real you with all of our insufficiencies and all of our weaknesses. God is the one who has called me. Write that in first person. Know that in your heart. God is the one that has called you. You no longer have to live in shame. You no longer have to have your sins holding you back, thinking about them nonstop. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We don't have to let our sins define us. Even though there's people in the world that think that that's what needs to define you, that's not what God wants to define you. God's the one who calls you. In Hebrews 9, it says, if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of cows made spiritually contaminated people holy and clean, how much more will the blood of Jesus wash our consciences clean from dead works in order to serve the living God, who offered himself to God through the eternal Spirit and as a sacrifice without any flaw? This is why he's the mediator of a new covenant, which is his will, so that those who are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance on the basis of his death. His death occurred to set them free from the offenses committed under the first covenant. You've been redeemed. While you were sinners, Christ came and gave his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And the second thing is, God is the one who has equipped you. God gives you all that you need because Jesus chose to redefine who you are. Jesus came to forgive your sins and give you a new definition of life. Through the Holy Spirit, you're given what you need, not just to take care of yourself each day, but to take care of others, to reach out to others, to be a spiritual guide for others. In 1 Corinthians, they talk about these spiritual gifts is given to each of us so that we can help each other. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another according to the same Spirit. Faith is still to another by the same Spirit. See, it's the same Holy Spirit giving us these gifts. The gift of healing to another in the one Spirit. Performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, different kinds of tongues to another, the interpretation of tongues to still another. All these things are produced by the one, the same Spirit, who gives what he wants to each person. The Holy Spirit gives to each of us in the way that God wants us to be able to use these things. That's why all together we're the body of Christ and we all have different gifts. We need to know that God equips us. And the third thing is God is the one who has empowered you. Just as you are, still sinful. God takes our sins, he takes our destruction, he takes our pain, he takes our despair. God takes our guilt out of our lives and empowers us to live for him. God gives us this awesome gift called grace. It's an amazing thing that we have so much trouble understanding that in spite of our faults, God loves us and calls us into a relationship with him. And the amazing promise about God's grace, I think, is found in Romans 11:29. God's gifts and calling cannot be taken back. God calls all people, all different people. He calls us all to do great things. We don't get to pick our blessing. We don't get to pick our gifts and our calling. God does. And it's in our weakness that God makes us strong. He alone is sovereign. He sees the complete picture while we see our sins and our blemishes. You know, most artists will tell you that it's often those blemishes that make something so beautiful and so valuable. We need to place our trust solely in Jesus Christ. It's in our weakness. It's in our imperfection that it so often reflects His glory and His greatness. It's in our faults that we're able to serve and have a constant reminder that it's through Christ's strength, through Christ's love, His unfailing love, that saved a wretch like me. Others might look upon God's handiwork, that's you and that's me, and say that we're not worth saving, just like I do about Jacob sometimes. But today I ask, who gets your blessing? I told you how cynical I was about Jacob. Jesus isn't cynical about me, and He's not cynical about you. He sets a blessing aside for each and every one of us. He says that I choose you, and I'm going to work my will in you. I'm going to throw away your sins, and I don't want you to hold on to them and see just your blemishes. I'm going to give you new life, and that's the life that you can keep and hold on to. I love what Micah 6, verse 8 says. God has told you, insert your name where it says human one. God has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, embrace faithful love, and walk humbly with your God. I choose to keep those blessings. I will live for justice. I will embrace the love of Christ and share that with the world. And I will walk humbly with the Lord as my Savior. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jacob, the one that we sometimes think wasn't good enough because we see the faults in him. Sometimes we almost feel like we're looking in a mirror when we hear about what Jacob had done. But Lord, you used him. You made him a great person with your love and with your strength and with your wisdom. I pray that you take our lives, each and every one of us, and offer us that same blessing that Isaac gave to his son, that we might live for you and prosper. Not prosper financially or for ourselves, but prosper by sharing the glory of your riches in heaven. Offering others the forgiveness of our hearts so that they can see that they're forgiven by you. Help us all to know that we are called. Each and every one of us is given a special gift by your Holy Spirit, that we might walk in the truth of your love and align our wills with yours, the way that Christ taught. And you taught us to pray that your will be done on earth. I pray this blessing upon not just all of us here today, but those that wish that they were here, that those that had never heard of this church, that the world might know that they're blessed because you are the creator of all, and others might see the glory and blessings of your riches in heaven. We pray these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Will you join me?